Hello, I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, creator of the Incandescent Radio Network, here with my friend and colleague, Tony Farmer, host of the Black Lives Matter radio show. We are thrilled you are here with us today, so let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the Black Lives Matter radio show on the Incandescent Radio Network. I am Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show and founder of Incandescent Incorporated. It is November 22nd, 2020, and tonight we are thrilled to welcome to the show Toy B. James, a customer care, inclusion, and performance optimization expert currently working for a very large telecom company based out of Atlanta. She leads all aspects of customer care's inclusion and diversity efforts, that's IND. She develops programs and provides coaching and support, as well as serving as the primary contact and liaison for enterprise enablement resources. She is a leader and agent in these communications tools, and we are so thrilled for her to be here. And now I'm going to introduce Tony Farmer, host of the Black Lives Matter radio show, who is going to have a conversation with Toy tonight, and it's going to be fascinating as it always is. So Tony, take it away.
Toy, I want to thank you personally for joining the Black Lives Matter radio show. I'm so excited to have you on. For a number of reasons, and we're going to jump right into it. So first question for you, what really got you focused in on diversity and inclusion work?
I don't think there was a part of my adult life where that was not my focus, at least indirectly. It doesn't necessarily fit into my job description, but everything that I've ever done has been about making sure people felt loved, seen, heard, and respected. In my work working for the city and communications, how do we make sure we get messaging to our constituents? That was my job. I did that to make sure that this is how people are seen, heard, and respected, as well as in public affairs, same thing, corporate responsibility, same thing. Whatever my focus, my job is, my focus is always the people I'm serving. And so getting into the work of diversity and inclusion, specifically now as an inclusion manager, my full story is last year was a tough year with everything going on in the world. Of course, we see what's happening now, certainly what started or what people think just started this year, but it's been going on certainly in the Black community forever. And so I just really wanted to find my voice. And so a friend, a colleague, my namesake, Latoya Berkeley, actually sent me an email saying, hey, this looks interesting. I think you'd be good at this. So it was Coach Diversity Training for Diversity Coaching. I was like, wait, you can actually get paid to ask questions and you can actually discuss diversity, equity, inclusion issues within that. And you can help people identify their own isms and biases to make sure they reach their own goals. I'm all in, applied, got in, thankfully, because I didn't necessarily have coaching experience, but the passion was absolutely there. And the skills were there. I just never labeled it as coaching. So now, of course, I went through the first set of training to become an associate diversity coach, our senior vice president knew that I took the training. So when all the George Floyd related social justice issues kind of bubbled up in the United States, and our company actually had an Action Speaks forum. So all the employees could call in and talk about what they're feeling and what we could do better as a company. And that was in another part of the company, but I facilitated a conversation and the senior vice president was like, look, reach out to our executive director saying, hey, we want to keep the conversations going. Toy took a diversity coaching training. Could you reach out to her to see what she can come up with? Executive director reached out to me, not at all a part of my job, and said, hey, what can you do with this? Can we have a meeting like in 2 or 3 days? Cause we want to keep the conversation going. I said, hey, well, give me 3 days. Give me 3 days. Let me ponder, because again, I'm a processor. Let me ponder this and developed an entire program with communications, education, and engagement as the three pillars to handle the conversations that need to be had. And we've had these engagement conversations and what we call inclusive conversations throughout the rest of the year. And we've actually engaged every member of customer care. We do facilitators training for all of our leaders in hopes that they will actually have the exact same conversations with their teams. So that's just a piece of what I do. Personally, I'm always reading, always talking, always ensuring that people, whomever I come in contact with, always felt seen, heard, and respected. because I might be in a pandemic, the only person they talk to. Yeah. So the minimum I could do is be nice and respectful.
Outstanding. Aside from what you were already doing as a customer care person, and now that you have become like a go-to facilitator within your organization, how did the coaching education help? How did that really kind of build the gravitas that you've been able to work with in your organization?
First of all, it gave me a voice. With the training, you kind of have to investigate all of your own biases and isms in order to coach those who have the same issues, right? So when I went there, I just didn't know, one, what to expect. I was like, okay, you ask powerful questions. What does that even mean in the space of diversity? Like, I have friends who are life coaches or who executive coaches. I understand the business, but I understand the need for diversity coaching. But certainly when talking to people and understanding that they don't know what the importance of inclusion and diversity and equity, how that shows up in their lives, whether they are Black or person of color or white, because it impacts all of us. So we have to be in this together, which is what I tend to remind people, like, I can't solve a problem I didn't create. I'm going to need your help. You're going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting, but the first thing you're going to have to do is, one, recognize how that shows up for you, no matter who you are. And so my goal is just ask powerful questions. Someone comes up to me and say, you know what, Toy, I know that you believe Black Lives Matter, but I believe all lives matter. I don't get angry. I just say, really, I see that a little differently than you. Could explain to me why saying all lives matter in response to Black Lives Matter is important to you. Then we keep the conversation going. At some point, with any luck, we'll find a common ground somewhere. I may not change your mind, but I also remind you, it's okay to change your mind. It's okay. This is a safe space to talk and explore. And this is in a coaching session, or this is just in a private conversation. I have Black friends who voted for Trump. I've had some really interesting conversations. Are they still my friends? Absolutely. Do we see the world slightly differently? Absolutely. Do I understand their reasons? Absolutely.
Awesome. So listen, let me give you a scenario to play with. I always like to throw my guests some curveballs and I promise to keep you in a safe space.
Okay.
So the scene is you're standing on a podium. You've got 200 young girls, grade age, maybe middle school age, and they're looking at you to give them perspective on 2020, everything ranging from the pandemic to, you know, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and many others, and how you navigated through that. What do you tell these young folks that you encounter?
Gosh, 2020, I swear I saw a meme and it just said 2020 really should be a swear word. Like, you know, it's just, you know, in place of other swear words, like that dang 2020. Yeah, it's hilarious. But I will say, one, I'll remind them, like, you are enough. You are here. You will prosper. This too shall pass. That would be my primary message. Because even with everything that's going on, no matter who you are, if you can count a blessing, you're in a good space. If you woke up and you did not have breathing issues, you're in a really good space. If you had breathing issues and recovered, you're in a good space. You have testimonies are so prevalent at this time. I've talked to so many people whose businesses skyrocketed in this space. Who knew? I've also known people who lost their jobs, but are still prospering. And I think that that is wonderful. So what I would tell these young girls, you are enough. This will not break you. Breathe. Just remember that. And I think sometimes that's all people need to hear, just to be reminded, you know what, you look in the mirror, I'm enough. I'm gonna get through this. And if you can hear my voice saying that over and over again, at some point you will believe it. And that is
outstanding. Outstanding. Powerful message. And I agree with you. I think at some point we'll switch out our curse words and just, you know, insert 2020. And to your point, some will have testimonies about 2020. They will talk about how 2020 was their launch point for their business or their individual endeavors. But let's transition a little bit, because you are also an entrepreneur.
Yes,
so,
I am.
So tell us a little bit about your business and tell us about how it came about.
Well, it actually started right after I finished my initial coaching training. I am now a professional diversity coach, just recently went through the program. And so in March, I started Red Ink Enterprises, which is a coaching business, coaching and communications. Because again, just the one thing that a lot of people who know me know that I love stories, which is why coaching is just second nature to me, because I am very curious about people's experiences. I think that that's where the magic is. That's where we find connection. That's where we can see ourselves and other people. And that's how we can really bond in a way that is special. But with coaching, I primarily focus on transformational experiences. So what is your goal? What is preventing you from reaching your goal? Just helping you understand who you are, to make sure that you, one, recognize that you are enough, you have the skills, you have the resources. Now let's kind of talk through what that really looks like. So when you set that date, that goal date for whatever that is, I just really want to understand diversity and inclusion issues. Let's talk about that. What makes that important to you? At the end of the day, what would you want that to look like? If it's to reach a business goal, like I really want to build a business, but I just don't think that I can do it. Let's talk about that. So again, my love of questions, personal experiences really feeds into this business. And my love of storytelling helps me with the communications piece. Because my goal is really just to get as many stories out there as I can about either experiences or just the technicality of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or the history of it and how it kind of shapes us today. Because people will say, well, slavery ended so long ago. Why are we still talking about this? And I'm like, okay, well, let's kind of take a deep dive. Slavery was abolished, but then there was Jim Crow. We still have redlining. We still have healthcare inequities. We still have education inequities. I live in a neighborhood that is ranges in income level. We don't have a Whole Foods in our neighborhood. I still have to travel to Midtown in Atlanta to go to Whole Foods. There's certain things that I don't have access to simply because of my zip code. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about employment. Studies have shown that Black people have to show and prove, and others generally just have to, it has to be assumed that they could do the job. Like, I kind of like them. I think they could do it. I have to prove myself over and over and over again. And I may or may not be rewarded. That is something we have to talk about. So yes, it is absolutely all important.
You are also a Renaissance woman.
Really?
Right? You like the arts.
Yes.
You like to, you know, there's a lot of very eclectic things that, you know, give you energy and joy. Tell us how that developed in you.
I'm from a small town in South Carolina. I'm an only child. My parents are eclectic themselves. My father, born in New York City, moved to South Carolina when he was a teen, and you would never know New York was in him. Like, I grew up on the back of Harleys. I lived on racetracks. I loved deep sea fishing because that's something my dad and I used to do. Country music. I mean, if you want to talk about some good music, 80s country music, Crystal Gayle, Alabama, all of that, as well as I'm also into hip hop. I also like R&B and I also like neo soul. I love arts and culture because again, I love stories. And this is the way people tell their stories. And being exposed to many different types of people growing up reminded me, and of course, watching lots of TV. I'm an only child, that's what I did. So the world always seemed bigger than the space I was in because I would travel in books, I would travel in movies, I would travel in conversations with people who had experiences that were different than mine because I was in South Carolina. My first trip to New York, I was, I think like 9, I flew on a plane by myself to see my grandmother for the first time. I was 9 years old and excited. And my mom always says, since that moment, she was like, grass does not grow under your feet. You will jump on a plane to go anywhere. And it is still very, very true.
Right. That is awesome. What do you think it has been the most significant driver or impact on your life? So you are a diversity and inclusion professional. You are a certified diversity inclusion coach. You are an entrepreneur. You are kind of situated in the South, and that's kind of, you know, where your salt is. What inspires you?
What inspires me? the fact that I believe in one humankind is really just that simple. I have engaged different people, different types of people my entire life. And the idea that anyone would feel less than because of how they're perceived by someone else absolutely breaks my heart. Mm. That is probably the saddest thing that could happen. My calling someone a racist doesn't get me anywhere. It just doesn't. I've always wanted to investigate, how did you get here? What is it about me that triggers you? My mere presence, I don't have to say anything. You see my skin, you see my hair, you see my lips, and you're like, oh, I can't believe she's in this space. What about my being here bothers you? And that's where we go back. If everyone felt loved, seen, heard, and respected, my presence wouldn't bother them at all.
Right.
You would not bother me at all. Our differences, our visible differences, would not matter. So my goal is to have people really just think about why they feel the way they feel, why they think the way they think. And sometimes people don't remember.
Right.
It's just ingrained in us. That's what systematic racism has done. We're educated in a way and taught in a way that some people are better than because they have or because they look like. And the real truth is, it's not true. It's absolutely not true.
So you are a creative person. You like to kind of imagine and really kind of formulate your reality where you are and then kind of push that out. 1 year from now, right? When you look back at 2020 and the journey that you've taken between that point and 1 year from now, if you were queen for a day, how would that look? How would that the 1 year from now look?
Ooh, I don't think I've gotten that question. So let's see. I will say at the beginning of the pandemic, when we were all kind of on lockdown, the one thing I talked to my friends about, I was like, as uncomfortable as this is and as hot as this feels, generations are impacted. So children will see the world differently. How we navigate the world will be different. And as opposed to looking at that as a negative, how exciting would that be? Like, I cannot wait to see what happens on the other side of this. There's a lot of brilliance brewing that we are not introduced to yet. So I'm excited about that. But for me, honestly, I just want to be on a beach. I really do love the simple things. They're the things that bring me the most joy. I just want to be surrounded by people who love me, who I love, laughing, and hearing waves and just kind of enjoying the moment. That would be me just for a day. That's all I want to do.
Wow. I can see and feel that. I'm looking forward to that day as well. My family loves the beach. I've never been a beach lover, but I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to that sandy existence now. It takes years to get that stuff out of your carpets. So let me ask you this question. If I'm looking for a diversity coach, a diversity consultant, how do I find you? What do I put in Google search to find Toy?
The easiest place to find me is on LinkedIn, Toy B. James. There's quite a few Toy Jameses. Surprise, surprise. People are not aware of that, but Toy B. James. I always put my middle initial in there. One, because it just sounds way cooler.
Right.
two, you can really identify who I am. Because I think there's another Toy James whose LinkedIn profile is amazing, but I'm like, I don't want people to confuse me with her and her PhD. So I just like to let me add my B so they get the real me. But that is the easiest way to contact me. I'm building the link, the IG site and all of that. But right now that is by far the easiest way to contact me. And I do respond.
So I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this question, right? When all the election results are settled, we will have our first woman of color in the seat of vice presidency. This is something that I will speak for myself. I never could have imagined as a young, Black boy growing up in DC. Tell me how that impacts you.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. I don't think I really thought much about how it would impact me personally. My concern is imagining the looks on little brown faces, little girls, and little boys. Because again, there's a generation who have seen a Black president. Now they're seeing a Black VP. Their opportunities are endless for them. like the idea of saying, you know, because I grew up saying you're never going to be president. Not that I wanted to be, but I wanted to believe that I could be. But I was told that I couldn't be. There are young kids now who see the world entirely differently. And to me, that's what matters. Now, I am going to support diversity, equity, inclusion issues that are raised in that space, because I think everyone should find their niche. You can't do everything. That is my niche, to encourage people to really see her for who she is, all of her, as well as her credentials and her skills, and that she is incredibly capable of doing the job. And just to remind people of that as often as I possibly can. But I'm most excited about the younger generation and the idea that the world, their professional world, just opened wide open. I mean, just exploded.
How do you think that's going to change your work? How do you think that's going to change? Maybe let me ask you a different way. How do you think it's going to change the work of diversity and inclusion? Easier, more difficult, deeper, wider? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, one, it depends on policy. Let's just hope that they overturn the restriction of having diversity, equity, inclusion training in government. In the private sector, I don't think that that has changed much, even with that announcement when it was first made, quite honestly. I think that there'll be more interest. I think people will hopefully, and this is probably more of a hope, is that people will just genuinely be more open to having the conversations, which will make my work more impactful. Because it's one thing to have a training or a coaching session and people aren't ready. They're just there to check a box. It's another thing when they're just like, I really want to understand this now. And so they bring their full selves and their level of curiosity and their level of vulnerability to share for us to really have a really deep, I'd rather go deep than wide any day, conversation to really just eliminate the isms and biases that a lot of us face on a daily, and sometimes we don't survive it.
So as I mentioned at the top of the show, hope is an enduring ally, right? Hope is a person who has really invested her time, her money, her energy into supporting the Black Lives Matter efforts. And what would your message be to an enduring ally, either somebody that you currently know or somebody you may meet in the near future?
First of all, I would say thank you. So thank you, Hope. I really appreciate it. The community appreciates it. And my advice is always do the work. Do the work of, if someone's watching you or not. Continue to engage, continue to learn. And when you engage other people, Black people or people of color, come with a level of knowledge and curiosity where it can be an exchange and not forcing me to educate you in a space that I'm only really can speak for me. Black people are not monolithic. So when I talk about certain things, unless I'm referencing research or studies or a book or whatever, from people who've actually done that level of work, I may be speaking for myself. So to walk away with that saying, well, all Toy said, so all Black people think, not the best thing to do. So I always say, educate yourself and just remain open. It's okay to make mistakes, leave room for yourself to breathe, and get up the next day and try again.
So for those who are thinking about getting into diversity, inclusion, equity and belonging work, give us a few things from your perspective that people must know as they graduate into this.
Understand your niche. It's really broad. It's a broad conversation. I've seen other panelists kind of talk about everything and I'm like, yeah, that's not the way to go because that may not be right. Find your niche, do the work, study, read books, listen to podcasts, listen to leaders in this space who've been here for a really long time, and bring yourself. And the thing about it is the one thing that is incredibly uncomfortable in this space is the level of vulnerability you have to share, right? Because you have to bring, for people to develop a level of trust, you have to be vulnerable to invite that level of vulnerability. So that is one thing. It's not, because it's not just information in your head you're sharing, you're really sharing yourself. This work is not for the faint of heart because you will be disappointed. you will hear things that will surprise you, and it shouldn't. If you really understand that people's experiences and perceptions are theirs and you're inviting them to share, just listen and just be present. But I will first say, just learn, just and position yourself in certain spaces, start having public conversations, put yourself in incredibly uncomfortable positions. I'm an introvert. This is not incredibly comfortable, I promise you, but I removed myself because the conversation is way more important than me. And that's what you have to do, in my opinion, anyway.
Tell me, what's been the most rewarding thing that you've gotten from D&I work?
Actually, having the conversations. I love talking about things that matter to people. I do wish that is my sweet spot. If you got a story for me and we can exchange ideas and thoughts and experiences, that's incredible. Because in every conversation I've had, even if the person I'm talking to started on the right and I was on the left, it's just, we come together and it's just like, okay, did we walk away in the middle? Sometimes no, but we're closer to the center because I really do love people. That I think is the most important thing in the world, is to help and support and take care of each other and ourselves. And I just wish there was more of that in the world. So to give space for people to be themselves, 100% of themselves, where they can find peace in my presence, that's what's important to me.
So I got to tell you, you and I have had our conversations and we'll have more. I will say that it's hard to meet genuinely good, caring people who want the best for everybody. And I'm so pleased and happy to have met somebody like you in this work, and somebody who's genuine about what they're doing and energized by what they're doing and so looking forward to where this journey takes you and your impact, you know, on this work, in this area of work. As always, when we do our Black Lives Matter radio shows and we engage our guests, I always like for the last question to be from Hope. Hope has wonderful insight and years of experience, and she's been in a lot of different, existed on a lot of different platforms. So Hope, over to you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Of course, it's really fascinating. I'm also a life coach. I just finished my Martha Beck Life Coach certification, and it's about transformation and using metaphors that way. So I actually have two questions. The first one is, coach me for a minute, right? So I walk into your space, and what, so that you can help me help others to understand this as well, right? So how do you start?
Well, first, it's just really an introduction to make sure we're a good fit, that you like me, I like you, you think I could help you, I think I can help you, to make sure you're not looking for a consultant or a therapist, because I'm neither. I'm a coach, I'm a thought partner, and I am just primarily there to help you do your own self-evaluation and investigation. So I just ask powerful questions. The first thing I'll do is, one, ask you what your goal is. And then I'll say, so how important is it to you? And then we'll really take a deeper dive in trying to understand what is preventing you from reaching that goal, whatever that is. It could be something that's super small. It's like, I am a mess and I need to clean my house and I don't understand why I don't have the energy to do it. Or it could say, you know what? I want to start a business and I don't even know where to start. Or it could be, I work in corporate America and I just don't feel like I belong. I feel like everyone's picking on me and I don't get raises and I am exhausted. So just whatever it is you need, I am there to support you in that space.
In terms of this conversation around diversity and inclusion, because I'm really fascinated by this, this did kick up in my life a year before the Black Lives Matter movement got really strong. And I was at something called the Circle Way. It's a courageous communication tool that's been around for a long time. A friend of mine, Barbara Thorngren, who I did my yoga teacher training with, she invited me. She said, you have to experience this. And what was so fascinating was the first conference that they had had in Manhattan, is where it was located. And there were these amazingly gorgeous, brilliant Black women. And they wanted to have this conversation. And it wasn't on the agenda. It wasn't part of the plan in any way, shape, or form. And it took the organizers by surprise, and no one was prepared for what was about to ensue because it exploded, right? There was about 50 people at the conference. It was very intimate, right? We were all in circles, and there's a circle keeper, and they could not keep this under control. People left, people were crying, people were screaming. It was fascinating. And I thought, I do not have any answers here. There's nothing I can say. I can't say the right thing. I'll say the wrong thing, right? Because it was so deep and intense. And like you described earlier, you know, it was so personal and intimate and ancient, right? So that's the conversation that I'm so happy that I know Tony, and that he's the host of this show, and that he asks so many wonderful questions and is bringing so many amazing guests to our platform. I think that's what I'd like to hear you just talk a little bit about, and then I do have one more question. So I'm coming to you as the producer of this radio show. Tell me, how can I do this well?
Well, that's a whole couple of sessions, by the way.
Surely.
So let's be clear about that, because my first question would be, like, one, why is that important to you? And two, why don't you think as well? What do you believe is not going well?
Right. Well, this is important, giving voice to people. So I'm going to answer you. This is going to be just a quick and dirty, but my goal is to give voice to as many people as possible. Right. So I'm not the host, because that would be silly. Right. But yet just creating a space, a safe space for people to talk, because when you create that, to your point earlier, you know, then people show up because they feel safe. Right. And they don't feel like they're being judged. But there is so much drama and trauma in the country. I mean, I think we all feel it, that, you know, the election has been won by Joe Biden. And, you know, it's still, we're two full weeks out and it hasn't been official. And we're in this pandemic, about to have Thanksgiving, right? So I think we all feel very vulnerable in what was. So to have this be an important thing, I don't want it to go away. I don't want it to be like pushed to the side. It's too important. Civil rights is too important. Social justice is too important. So that's me. And I do think it's going well, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of put it out there and make me talk about it a little bit, because I think, you know, just to give people an idea of what they could expect around this. So you're queen, you have a magic wand. What does the world look like in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years?
The world looks like one humankind. People are engaging each other in a real way. It's not about things. It's not about positions. It's not about titles. It's not about money. And when people walk down the street, they say hello and mean it. When they ask, how are you? They actually want to know what people actually feel like when they're in their own bodies. They feel their own strength. They feel like enough. They know that they're loved, that when they walk out the door, that they're seen. And when they're seen, they're just like, people are just like, hey, how are you? And they feel recognized and loved and heard, and they can speak freely about who they are and what they love and how they live without the level of judgment that we're currently seeing that forces people to hide who they are. And whatever that looks like, it could be hairstyles, it could be their sexual orientation, it could be whatever, that whomever they are, that they just feel comfortable. And they also feel as if they have access to make sure that their dreams could come true.
I like that. That's a beautiful world. And hopefully you and Tony, and if I have any contribution, we can all make that true, right? Because I think that that is for everyone feels that way. I do a lot of work trying to make women feel amazing in their skins. And, you know, as a Jewish girl, we also have issues, right? But they're not the same, right? It's different. And the idea is that to find a way that we can all be loved and love ourselves and be in a world where that's the goal, right?
That is walking down a cobblestone street with a book and my headset, and I'll see a neighbor and say, hey, how are you? How is the dog? And we have a no matter what the race, gender, orientation, if they're an immigrant, whatever, that we connect in a real intimate way, even if it's for 5 minutes, and it's a part of a really incredibly lovely day.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Tony, do you have any final thoughts?
I don't have anything else. I will share with you that Toy is also a Hamilton fan. And as we close out, I would like to know, what is your favorite Hamilton track and why?
Oh my gosh. First of all, that is a really hard question. And I can't give you a why right now, because I hadn't actually listened to it in about a month or two. And I've listened to so much other stuff. So that's just a really difficult question right now. But what I will say on the remix CD, all I can say is just the Jill Scott solo.
Jill Scott solo,
that's
got it.
All I am going, because that song is amazing. But no, but the entire, both soundtracks are beautiful. And God, that's hard. And I can't answer. And I'm sorry. I can't
choose. It's okay. You know, when you and I were talking about Hamilton, it was so fascinating. Hamilton represents so much, right? It represents the founding fathers. It represents the diversity now that we have come to understand, the way that was put together, the actors who portrayed it, and the wonderful artists who won Tonys and won Pulitzers. And I think it just shows that we are headed in the right direction, particularly in the arts. And it says something when programs like that get the notice they got. I have not forgotten. And, you know, we were joking earlier about Hope and I meeting while I was watching the Black Panther. It's not lost on me that the Black Panther was a worldwide phenomenon when it came out. And so I'm hopeful that as we move forward, that we have more of those, right? That we have more of these events, more of these, whether it comes through the arts or anywhere else, that we have more events that just show the appreciation for what people of color can do and the strength of that community. So that's kind of my parting words. Toy, is there anything else that you want our listeners to know before we close this evening?
First of all, I want to say thank you. I really appreciate you guys inviting me here to speak to you today. Two, the arts always brings people together, no matter the form. You will look around the room and generally it's diverse, depending on what it is, but I promise you, as someone who likes bossa nova country, the whole nine, I love it for that reason. And three, let's just kind of get together and make this world amazing.
Outstanding, outstanding. Toy, thank you again so much. Hope, thank you for giving us the safe space to have this conversation. Thank you all for joining Black Lives Matter Radio, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Absolutely. You are listening to the Black Lives Radio Show on the Incandescent Radio Network. Tony Farmer, your host. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, the producer. Tonight, we have been honored with Toy B. James, the magnificent woman who is changing the world. We can't wait to see what else you'll do. We'll talk to you soon. So that's all for today's episode of the Black Lives Matter radio show on incandescentradio.com. We have an amazing lineup of future guests, just like you heard on today's show. So be sure to tune in for another episode and tell your friends about us so they can listen too. If you or someone you know should be a guest on our show, send me an email, hopekatzgibbs@gmail.com, and we'll be in touch. Again, this is BlackLivesMatterRadioShow.com on the Incandescent Radio Network. We look forward to talking to you. Until then, stay safe and be well.